So we are going through the letter to the Romans, verse by verse, perhaps the greatest book ever written. And we've made it to chapter 2, and our passage for today is going to be verses 12 to 16. The Apostle Paul writes, "For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel." Now, when you take a passage of Scripture and you ignore everything that has come before it and ignore everything that's going to come after it, you end up with a lot of weird interpretations. And there are many people who, for a long time, have seriously misinterpreted these five verses because it seems that they're ignoring what came before and where Paul is going with it. I'm not going to get into all the mistakes and all the misinterpretations, but I want to just give you a quick overview of the first few chapters of Romans so we can see how this fits in Paul's train of thought and Paul's argument. And then I think the passage will be quite straightforward and understandable. It's not that difficult. If you just take it on its own, it may sound strange, but it's not that difficult. So, in the book of Romans, at least in the first few chapters, the Apostle Paul is going to teach the great doctrine of justification by faith alone. What does justification mean? Because he's going to be using that word a lot. He uses it in our text today. What does justification mean? Justification is the opposite of condemnation. When a person is accused of a crime and they're taken before judge or the court, and the evidence is examined and the witnesses are heard, and in the end the judge will give his verdict, and he will either condemn the person or he will justify the person. So he will either make a declaration and say, "You are guilty," therefore condemning him, or he will declare him to be just and right and not guilty, and that is justifying him. When God justifies a person, he is saying, "You are not guilty. You are righteous." Justification is God's declaration when he gives his verdict on a person's life. Here's the problem that we all have, though. Every single one of us has sinned. Every single one of us has disobeyed God. Every single one of us has broken God's law many, many times. This is not in dispute. And so, what should God, as a good, righteous judge, what should he do with us? Well, he should punish us. In fact, God must punish. Otherwise, what kind of a good judge would look at a criminal and say, "I'll just let you go"? So God must judge sinners. But here's the beauty of the gospel, that God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. So Jesus takes the punishment that we deserve. And Jesus also lives a perfect, sinless life, so that his perfect righteousness then can be given to us. And so when we stand before God, we don't have sin anymore because Christ has paid for it. And we have righteousness because Christ has given us his righteousness. And so God can look at us with Christ's righteousness and justify us. Say, "You are just. You are not guilty. There is no sin there, and there is righteousness there." Not because we did anything, but because of what Christ has done for us. So Paul is going to explain that in chapters 3 and 4. We'll get there. He's going to explain to us how people are justified through faith in Christ. But he wants to make sure, before he explains the good news in chapter 3, he wants to make sure that we understand what our situation is without Christ. What is our condition? What is the position that we are in if we are not justified through the work of Christ? What is our condition by nature? And so he spends 2.5 chapters, chapters 1, 2, and into chapter 3, explaining that all people are sinners and therefore guilty and in need of salvation and in need of justification. In chapter 1, which we went through, he said that all people know that there's a God. We all know that there's a God. We know this by creation. We see the world around us. Obviously, there is an eternal and powerful creator God who made us, and we know that. But what do people do? We reject that God, and we make up our own gods and fall into great sin. And then we moved into chapter 2, where we are now. And in chapter 2, Paul is mainly addressing Jews, who may be thinking, well, yeah, the rest of the world has all rejected God, but not us. We're Jews. We're the people of God. We're the seed of Abraham. And Paul basically says to them, yeah, just because you have the blood of Abraham, that's not going to save you because you've also sinned. Now, if you were perfect and holy and righteous, that's fine, but you've also rejected God by constantly sinning against him. So really isn't a great difference between you and Gentiles because we've all sinned against God. And so he finally reaches chapter 3, and his conclusion is, there is no one righteous. No, not one. He says in chapter 3 that Jews and Gentiles are all under sin. He says the whole world is guilty before God, and he says by the works of the law, no one will be justified. If you think that you can be saved by being obedient to the law, think again. You cannot. Why? Because you've already broken it many, many times. So hoping that you're going to be somehow saved by your obedience doesn't work. And so we need, desperately need, the work of Jesus Christ, who died for us and gives us his righteousness. So that's the outline of the first 3 or 4 chapters. Chapter 1, Gentiles are sinners. Chapter 2, Jews are sinners. Chapter 3, everyone's a sinner, and therefore we need Jesus Christ to save us. All of us. Okay? If you remember last week, we finished in verse 11. What did verse 11 say? It said, for there is no partiality with God. Okay? Paul was talking about how there's no difference between Jews and Gentiles because we've all sinned. Gentiles have sinned, Jews have sinned, and so we're all in the same boat. God is not going to look at two people who've sinned and say, you know what, that guy's a Jew, so I'm going to let him off. That guy's a Gentile, I'll punish him. No, there is no partiality with God. Your ancestry does not play a role in God's judgment. He's going to see the sins that you've committed and punish accordingly. Now, to get to our passage for today. Someone may say, but Paul, you can't say that Jews and Gentiles are the same. There is a difference. There's a difference between Jews and Gentiles. And the difference is that God blessed the Jews by giving them the law, which he did not do with the Gentiles. All right? So we're different. We have the law of God. And so Paul says, all right, let's talk about that. Look at verse 12. For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. All right, let's break this down. We've been talking about two groups of people, right? Jews and Gentiles. Here he doesn't use the term Jews and Gentiles. He uses the term, though he talks about one group that does not have the law, and then talks about another group that does have the law. All right? So the group that does not have the law, that's the Gentiles. The group that has the law, that's the Jews. And when he's talking about the law, he's specifically talking about the Mosaic law, the law that was given through Moses to the Israelites A millennium and a half before the time of Christ, God brought the Israelites out of Egypt. And when he brought them out of Egypt, he said, I'm going to make an agreement with you. We're going to have a covenant, an agreement. And here's the agreement. I'm going to give you my law. I'm going to give you my law in absolute detail. Okay, every minute detail of what I require of you. And here's the deal. You keep my law, and I will bless you. I will give you your own land. I will take care of you. I will protect you. I will be your God, and you will be my people. You disobey my law, and I will curse you, and I will scatter you and destroy you. That's the deal. Do we agree? And the Jews said, we agree. We have a covenant with God. You'll be our God. We'll be your people. All right. Now, God, it's true, God did not make that agreement, that covenant, with any other nation. He made it with the Israelites. Okay? Only with Israel. And he gave them every detail in his law. And he said, keep this and you'll live. If you disobey it, you perish. The rest of the nations, the rest of the world, did not have the law. Okay? The Mosaic law. It was only given to Israel through Moses. So, when it says, for as many as have sinned without law, that's the Gentiles. For as many Gentiles as have sinned without the Mosaic law will also perish without the Mosaic law. Okay? And the Jews, as many Jews who have the law and have sinned, will also be judged by the law, will be judged by that Mosaic law which God has given them. So, what does he say happens to the Gentiles who sin? What happens to them? They perish. What happens to the Jews who sin? Well, he says they'll be judged by the law. We're talking about the Mosaic law here. So if the Jew sins against the Mosaic law, he is going to be judged accordingly. Okay, and the implication there is, when he says that the Jew is going to be judged by the Mosaic law, the implication is that he's also going to perish, because the law, the Mosaic law, was if you disobey, you perish. So the Jew who sins, it says, he'll be judged by the law, and implication will also perish like the Gentile who didn't have the law at all. Okay? Now, he's further going to explain this verse over the next few verses. Someone may say, a Jew will say, but Paul, we get that the Gentiles will perish. God didn't even give them the law. He just left them in darkness to die. Forget about the Gentiles. But we're Jews. God gave us the law. He blessed us. Verse 13, he says, for not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. The problem with the Jew is that merely having the law, merely hearing the law, is not going to save you when you're not obeying it. Saying, I have the law, and not keeping it is going to do you no good. Okay? I remember, when was this? Several years ago. I was looking at a certain seminary that I wanted to go to, and I found one that I liked, but it was way too expensive, and I didn't have the paperwork to go there. So I couldn't go. But I went and I spoke with the people there, and they said, well, if you would like to sit in some classes and audit, you can. Auditing a class. Audit comes from audio, like you can come and just listen. You can come and sit in the class and listen. You're not going to be tested. You're not going to be graded. I could participate a little. You're not officially part of the class. You just come and listen. Okay? You could do that. But God says, when it comes to his law and to his word, he doesn't permit for that. The Jews would go to the synagogue, and they would just sit there and hear the law of God read, and not all of them, but my point is many Jews would go sit at the synagogue, listen to the law of God read, and then go home and would have no impact on them, much like many people who go to church. They come to church on Sunday morning, they listen, and then they go home and it has no impact on them whatsoever. But God says, I won't allow for that. If you hear my law and you hear my word, now you're accountable and I expect a response from you. And Paul is saying to the Jews here who are saying, well, we're special because we have the law. God is not going to judge us the same way that he judges Gentiles. We have the law. And he says, you can't be telling me you have the law because you're not keeping the law. Just hearing it doesn't make any difference. Simply because you've heard it and the Gentiles haven't, it would matter if you kept it. But since you're not keeping it, what difference does it make that you have it? And so he says, it is not the hearers of the law that are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Now, really quick, as a side note here, some people get very confused with this verse. And they say, what did it just say there at the end of the verse? That the doers of the law will be justified? Isn't the whole point in chapter 3 that no one can be justified by doing the law? That you're only going to be saved through faith in Christ? How can Paul say, is he contradicting himself in one chapter after the other? No. Paul here is simply stating the standard of the Mosaic law. If you keep the law, in theory, this is the standard. If you keep the law, you'll be justified. If you don't keep the law, you'll be condemned. Okay, that's the rule. That's the rule. And there's a statement, it's very true. Those who keep the law will be justified. Now, the question is who's going to do that? Let me tell you something. Actually, let me read it to you. From Deuteronomy 27. So this is part of the law now. It says this. Cursed is everyone who does not continually do all the things in the law. Let me read that again. Cursed is everyone who does not continually do all the things in the law. Did that just say what I think it said? It can't be. It can't be that God's law requires perfection, can it? It can't be. Why not? Do you think that God gives us his law and says, well, these are the rules, and just do whatever you can with them. If you can follow them, great. If you can't, well, what you're going to do? Just keep some of them. Just do your best. Is that how the law works? No. The law says, these are the rules, keep them. That's how the law works. Okay? But we can't do that. That's crazy. Who can follow God's law perfectly? We can't do that. Why not? Because we're sinners. Exactly. That's the point. That's the point. No one keeps God's law. That's the point. The standard of God's law is keep it and you'll live. Disobey and you perish. That's the standard of God's law. And he's saying to the Jews, you say, oh, we have the law. Yeah, and what does your law say? Keep it or you perish. Have you kept it? No. So, what I said is true. Gentiles who don't have the law and have sinned will perish. Jews who have the law and have sinned are also going to perish. Simply possessing the law is not going to save you. So you say, all right, Paul, I get it. Okay, I get it. That the Jews who have the law and have disobeyed it will perish, will be judged by the law, and they haven't kept it, so I get it, they perish. But just out of curiosity, not that we care about those Gentiles, but just out of curiosity, you also said that the Gentiles who don't have the law are going to perish. That kind of seems unfair. Not that we care about those Gentiles, those dogs, those uncircumcised people, but how come they also perish? Because they don't have the law. They're just ignorant. So why should they perish when they sin? They don't know. They don't know any better. They're ignorant. And Paul's answer is, no, they're not ignorant. Verse 14. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts. Stop right there. The Gentiles do not have the Mosaic law. They've never heard of Moses. They've never heard of the Ten Commandments. But how come it's not difficult at all to find a Gentile who honors his father and his mother? They think that's quite right. Where did he get that idea from? Practically every society, every nation in the world, practically, would agree that you're not allowed to murder. You're not allowed to steal. You should tell the truth. You shouldn't lie. You shouldn't commit adultery. Pretty much everyone knows these things. Even if they've never read the Bible, they kind of know that. How do they know that? And he says, they know that by nature. There are some Gentiles, he's saying, that sometimes, on occasion, they'll do what's right. They'll follow the law, even though they don't have the law of Moses. But they do those things which are required in the law, and they do them by nature. And that the work of the law is written in their hearts, he said in verse 15. So they instinctively just kind of know that there are certain things that are required of me. Now, they don't have the law of God perfectly. They don't have all the details of the Mosaic law. But they know that there's a God. We talked about this in chapter 1. Everyone knows that there's a God through creation. And we see that everyone knows that God has a law. You can't just do whatever you want. Everyone knows that. Everyone has a sense of right and wrong. And he says, God has given us a conscience. Look at this, in the middle of verse 15. He says, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. What's the conscience? What does the conscience do? Well, he kind of explains in the verse what the conscience does. The conscience is that voice inside your head that when you do something will either excuse you or accuse you. You do something bad, and there's this voice inside of you that says, oh man, that was terrible. Shouldn't have done that. That's your conscience accusing you. Shouldn't have done that. That was wrong. Or sometimes you may do something. Was that okay? And your conscience says, yeah, that was fine. Okay, that's fine. I can do that again. We all have a conscience that God has just placed inside of us. Now again, the conscience is not perfect, because just like every other faculty of our humanity, it's been corrupted by sin. And so the conscience is kind of, it's a guide and we need it, but you know, sometimes you'll go and you do something bad and your conscience says, oh, that was bad, you shouldn't have done that. And you're like, oh, you feel terrible. But then after a while you kind of go and do it again, and it doesn't quite bother you as much as it did the previous time. And then you do it again, and it doesn't really bother you that much anymore. And then you just kind of do it again and again and again. And you're just so used to doing it, you kind of train your conscience not to care anymore. Okay? So the conscience is not perfect. You need to train your conscience with the Word of God, because it's not perfect. But nonetheless, everyone has a conscience. So now we're talking about the Gentiles who've never heard of the Bible. They've never heard of Moses, the Ten Commandments, the law. They've never heard of Jesus. They've never opened their Bible. They've never heard about the God of the Bible. But Paul says they have a conscience, which either excuses them or accuses them. So when it accuses them, it's telling them what? You've done something bad. So Gentiles know that there is a God, we talked about that in chapter 1, and they know that God has a law, and they know that they've broken it because their conscience tells them that. So does that now explain to you why Gentiles also, even though they don't have the Mosaic law, they do have a law on their hearts, And they know that they've broken it. And so they likewise, as the Jews who have the law and have broken it, will perish. So, as he said in verse 12, the Gentiles who don't have the law, when they sin, they also perish. Verse 16 is kind of grammatically awkward. It says, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Now, if you just continue reading from verse 15, it's really awkward. It says, you know, God, it's talking about their conscience bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or excusing them in the day when God will judge the secrets of men. So what a lot of translators have done is they've put, in my translation, from verse 13 to verse 15, they've put that in brackets so that verse 16 will be the continuation of verse 12. So it would read like this. Verse 12 and jumped around to verse 16. For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without the law, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. Maybe it just seems really... A lot of people take it that way. It's not a huge deal, but for me, that sounds really... That's a big leap for you to remember what he said so long ago. So I think it is a continuation of verse 15, even though it is kind of awkward. I think basically what he's just saying is the Gentiles spend their lives wrestling with their conscience, saying, oh, this was bad, this was good, this was bad, this was good. And of course, there's disagreements about Gentiles because the conscience is not perfect. But on the final judgment, there will be a perfect judgment by Jesus Christ, who will judge even the thoughts of men and the secrets of their hearts, everything that is hidden. God will reveal it. God will know everything that's been going on in your life. So what's the point of the passage? The point of the passage is this. There is no partiality with God. When God looks at the world to judge them, he doesn't split people into two groups and say, well, those are Jews and those are Gentiles, so let's judge based upon their nationality or their religious background. No. When he looks at the world, he just sees sinners. We're all in this together. We're all in this mess together. And justification will only come for those who are found in Christ. Christ is the only person in the history of the world that obeyed God perfectly for his entire life. What did the law command? That you continually obey everything in the law? Jesus did that. Jesus lived an entire life sinlessly. And so when we repent and trust in Christ, our sins are forgiven because he dealt with them on the cross, and he gives us his righteousness. Scripture says that we are clothed in the righteousness of God. And so what happens? When God looks at you, if you are without Christ, you are guilty, you have sinned, and you will perish. No hope. Jew or Gentile, it doesn't make any difference. But if you trust in Christ and you are clothed in the righteousness of Christ, the perfect righteousness of his beloved Son, when God sees you, what does he see? He doesn't see you in your sin. He sees his beloved Son. He sees Christ and he sees righteousness because you are in him. And therefore, he can rightly justify you and say, you're righteous, and accept you. Not because of anything we've done, but because of what Christ has done for us. And we'll talk way more about that when we get to chapter 3. Thank you for your attention. Let's pray.